Go. If you pull up the scripture reading there, we are looking at just three verses, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and it reads as follows. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Check this out. Abrupt stop there, but isn't it incredible that it doesn't matter if they are singing in English or in some other language? As we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and worship together, God draws us together because he's on the top and he draws us together. Did you sense something more going on than just singing there? How many of you could pick that up? I showed that to Jennifer and she said, oh my word, that lady's anointed. Trust you me, this microphone does not do that woman's justice. I mean, she has what some people would call a breaker anointing. When she opens her mouth and sings, the demons flee and the spirit comes down. And it was a wonderful time of worship with our new brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, I wanted to say, some of them are watching us. So everybody say, hi. So hi to people in Guatemala. They said, they're watching us. The awesome and amazing thing is that though we really could not communicate with each other very well, right? Because they didn't speak English hardly, and we didn't speak Spanish hardly. But the thing was, we identified with each other because our spirits resonated with their spirits. And then when we become Facebook friends, I don't know what you did, you other people on the team that went to Guatemala, that's what's going on in case you're not in the loop. You look and see all their posts and stuff, you go, oh, okay, they're fighting depression, you know, like taking a stand to help people in fresh. Oh, these people are doing evangelistic thing. Oh, they're addressing social issues that are in their culture, which is also confused. But they're exalting the name of Christ, and they're being light in the darkness in another part of the world. Same God, same heart, same spirit. That's awesome. It's a wonderful thing that happens when God's children come together. His spirit that resides in us resonates with others. And praise God, we've had that. Well, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Philippians chapter 3, and we talked about Paul's dogs, the evildoers, the mutilators of the flesh. And we looked at this passage and its warning. Today, we're going to not so much focus on the warning. I'm going to address that a little bit. We're going to look at the solution because we want to see the solution. But it is so vitally important for us to look at this passage and understand why Paul is getting so bent out of shape. And he is getting bent out of shape because when you call someone a dog, in their culture, like, I mean, my old pastor, I used to call him the big dog. You know, because he is. He's been there for 25 years, and that was a compliment. Calling someone a dog, and it was D-A-W-G, I think, D-A-W-G, something like that. But you call someone a dog in that culture, it's like, hey, pig, not really a happy thing to call them. Look what's going on there. Look out for the dogs, the evildoers, those who mutilate the flesh, and there's a play on words there, the katatome, mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcisers, the peritome, the ones who worship the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and place no confidence in the flesh. When we see circumcision, we kind of scratch our head and say, what in the world is that talking about? Here's what it's talking about. See that? That's a wedding ring. That's what circumcision is. It is a symbol of a relationship. Now, you can be married and not wear a wedding ring, right? If I take this ring off, am I still married to Jennifer? Yes. Absolutely, right? We were sitting at a table with our friends in Guatemala, and they said, I said, I don't notice you wearing rings. And I wasn't thinking gold rings or whatever. They said, well, that's more middle class Guatemalans. We don't wear rings, wedding rings. Now, does that mean that they're not totally committed to their spouses? Somebody say no. Yeah. Does it not mean that they're really married, that they've stood before God and witnesses? Of course they are. But they're not wearing rings. If we place our faith in a ring that says, well, just because I have this ring on, I'm married, we are in deep, deep trouble. And that's exactly what this passage is talking about. The greatest threat to authentic Christianity is not some of the people on the outside, some of the, I don't know, the Richard Dawkins, the other people that are saying the same old thing with a little bit more volume that's been said since the beginning of time. You know, what does it say? The fool says in his heart, there is no God, right? It's a verse for April Fool's Day, right? Yeah. They're saying the same thing. That's not the threat. The threat to the church is religion. And I'm not saying spiritual disciplines. Have spiritual disciplines. Read your Bible. Have a plan. Gather together. Pray, etc. But what I'm talking about is when we're just observing the outside stuff and not having an internal relationship that is life-giving. People are leaving the church in droves. Our culture, the younger people, want nothing to do with organized religion because what they are looking for is something that is really going to meet their needs in life-giving faith. And that is exactly what Paul is talking about. In verse 2, that's why he calls them the dogs, the mutilators of the flesh. So on the one hand, you have, watch out for the mutilators of the flesh, the evildoers, the dogs. And on the very end of it, flesh, right? On the first end of verse 2. On the end of 3, we place no confidence in the flesh. And right in the middle is the solution. And that's what this whole message is about today. The solution is we worship by the Spirit of God and we glory or boast. That's what glory means there. We boast in Christ Jesus. Look at the definition of worship here. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. How many like, what's our favorite team here? Eagles, all right? Eagles, Flyers, right? That's where Sidney Crosby plays, right? Oh, just kidding. The Eagles, the Flyers, the Phillies, we get excited when they hit a home run. Yay, right? I mean, when the Phillies win, we really get excited, right? We had Pittsburgh the same, right? Man, we got it. We should be excited about our faith. We should pull out all the stops to use an organ illustration. We should, like that woman that was singing there, just put it all out there. Lay it on the line because that's the only safe place we found. Remember 2 weeks ago? Rejoice in the Lord. That's the only place that is safe. It's your asphalt. That's what the word sounds like. Put it all out there because God is the only safe place to put your extravagant love and extreme submission. Here's the point. The flesh and the spirit are enemies with each other. Galatians 6:8 says, "For the one who sows in the flesh from the flesh will reap corruption." Corruption is a bad thing. It eats away at us. But the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. First thing, it's relationship over rules. Relationship overrules rules, right? It's about relationship, not rules. We don't need a new code of conduct. Code of conducts are helpful, but we don't need more rules piled upon us. We don't need a code of conduct. The Bible says we need a new heart. We need a heart transplant. Ezekiel promises us, Ezekiel 36:25-27, "I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness." Somebody say amen. "From all your idols, I will cleanse you." What do we place faith in? Lots of things, like our bank accounts, right? That's our idols. "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules." Cause you. You notice when he gives us this new heart, we get impulses to follow him. It's automatic. Why would you consider doing that? Oh, you don't know what you're missing, we tell our friends that are on the outside. What happens when God gives us a new heart and puts his new spirit in that heart? Wonderful, powerful, and amazing things. Check this out. Here's a sample of what the Spirit does in our lives. Check out this picture. So our men's ministry, that's Moses, and that's Moses' family. That's his mom, and his dad was on the other side. That's his brother. We support Moses. We have supported his older brother, Bill. Is Bill here? What's his name? Kevin. Kevin and his new bride. "Hope does not put us to shame," says Romans 5:5, "because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." How do we follow? We follow as God leads us. There's a reason why Paul is calling us to such strong language, calling dogs and other things like this. It is not an isolated passage. Look, pull out your green sheet. I am not going to go over every one of these in detail. I put it together. Somebody say amen, because I'm aware that like 2 weeks ago we had what's called a roast burner Sunday, where we got out at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Not quite, but almost. I died 1,000 deaths when I saw the clock. But take this home and let this sink into you. There is a reason why Paul is emphasizing this, because if we become religious, it's dead religion. And dead religion is useless. It's death to us. It might make us look good or feel good, or maybe people come, "Well, if I go to church just to make sure that I keep myself out of hell, maybe you make friends." I don't know. But we follow Christ not for what's on the outside and what people may think. Otherwise, that makes us a Christer. And we're thankful for the Christmas and Easter folk. But we want to gather together to have God's Spirit touch our spirits. Look, let's zip through some of these. Number one, life in the Spirit. By the way, that was where we did a debrief after we went out, and we were able to lead both baristas to Christ. So she's now been led to Christ, and one of the ladies on the team who lives about two blocks away is going to be following up with her, which is so cool. But here's what it says. What's life in the Spirit? No Spirit, no eternal life. John, the words of Jesus, John 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Repentance leads to the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. What comes from the Spirit? Power comes from the Spirit, Acts 1:8, Ephesians 3:16 and 17. Freedom, let's look at this one, 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit," let's read this together, "where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is" what? Freedom. Wisdom and revelation on the bottom of the page come from the Spirit. Next slide. Almost all of this is from Romans. What does the Spirit give us? Why is Paul emphasizing this so strongly? Because the Spirit gives us His love. We read that before. Life and peace come from the Spirit. How many of you have too much peace in your life? Anybody? No. Life and peace come from the Spirit when we lack peace. Look at Romans 8:6, sort of towards the middle of that green page there. For the mind, for to set the mind on the flesh is what? But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Look at what 14 and 15 say. Adoption as sons and daughters. We have received a spirit of adoption by whom we call Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. We can cry up with the heart wide open, expecting to receive a love from a perfect heavenly Father. And last one there, help. How many of you cry up your arms and say, help? Just me? Help, Lord. And finally, if you look, when we worship by God's Spirit, He speaks to us. When we're in His presence, He whispers, He guides, He leads, He talks. God's Spirit was active in Guatemala, and now we're going to have an opportunity to hear what He did. So I want to invite the team to come up and give some brief things about how they saw the Spirit moving in Guatemala. So I don't know who wants to go first. Are you ready?
Yes. Hi, good morning.
What's your name?
My name is Kate. Buenos dias. I feel like there was a lot of things that God did for all of us while we were in Guatemala, and so I wrote them down because I felt a little nervous. So the first thing that I feel like God really showed me is that when we pray, we don't just speak, we had to listen as well. And so frequently we get caught up of like, oh, I just read my Bible and I just prayed for like 15 minutes. I'm so great. But in reality, like, we didn't stop and listen. And so that was one thing that, like, I feel like I really need to work on. The other thing is the Guatemalan people, they're very warm and friendly. And so that really took us by surprise. But like, even within the church, like, they hugged each other and they did like the cheek kiss thing. I think we do that here. I don't really
the
like
fake New York kiss, yeah. I call it.
As we were doing that, like, it was this beautiful picture of what it's going to be like in heaven when all of the believers from across time are gathered together. And I'm like, wow, that's going to be awesome. All these people that we know, all these people that we are yet to meet. I mean, I don't know how we're going to speak, but there's going to be a lot of languages represented. So, I mean, that was super exciting. And the other thing is, going into this trip, I think all four of us felt really uncomfortable, and we weren't exactly sure what we were going to be doing. We weren't sure how it was going to go. But God kind of blew us away, and I think we all came back on fire for God, and we are excited for what He can do through us, not because He needs us, but because He chooses to use us. So that was really exciting, and last Sunday, when we were in the Guatemalan church, Pastor Rudy was speaking. He was speaking about opening your eyes and looking and seeing God's vision. And so he gave this example of what if you were given like all of this good furniture and like two pools and like just an extravagant gift, but you just had a very small house, and all you could do is turn around and you couldn't see anything. It's like, sorry, I have no room for this. So we had to open our eyes for what God has for us. So that was what I took away, I think.
Excellent.
Okay, I had to write everything down so I had my thoughts nice and organized for everyone. So I'm Victoria Haig, and for me, what it really came down to was the Lord really working through the kids. In America, we take so many things for granted. The kids there had so little. Some of them had some serious family problems, and one of them even confessed to us that some days he only gets water. And yet, each one of those kids, all of them were just so happy all of the time. Even though we couldn't have a conversation because we spoke different languages, they cared so much for us, and we were complete strangers. And that's not how we treat each other here, back at home. So what I took back with me was that no matter the situation, whether we're feeling joy, sadness, anger, confusion, whether it's an emotional, physical, mental, or financial situation, we have Jesus in our corner, and that's all we truly need. No matter how we're feeling or what's trying to distract us in the back of our head, we're still called to show God's love through our actions and our words. I remember these little kids smiling at me since that was really our only way of communication, and that spoke volumes to me. So why is it here in New Jersey that if we have a headache or if we're distracted by something at home, we just don't take that second to really put ourselves aside and let God work? We all fall into that trap. I know I do. I always try to let God work through me, but there are always those times that I am distracted and I let something take over my mind, and I don't take that second to plant a seed or even just to smile because I want to just move on to the next thing. So those kids really did show me how to slow down and put others first and allow God to work through me no matter what I'm feeling.
Hi, my name is Hannah. I'm Scott Vesper's daughter, in case none of you know me. When my dad first told me about this trip, I was very eerie about going because this is my first missions trip, so I didn't really know what it was going to be like. So I just kind of like came up with all these excuses as to why I didn't want to go. Like, oh, I have work, I have swim, I can't go, like I have so much to do. But through the days of like thinking about it, God really laid on my heart that like I have to go. And I didn't really know why, but I was just like, all right, like whatever you need me to do, I'll go. So I went into this trip not knowing any of these people. I had no idea who these people were. I just knew their names. So I was like, all right, well, hopefully this isn't awkward because no one knows me and I don't know them. So I ended up rooming with Kate and Victoria, and we actually ended up getting really close. And they just helped me a lot with everything. And so through this trip, God just kind of showed me that we need to step outside of our comfort zone in order to kind of follow him. So as we were going through the town, we were evangelizing and speaking to the people, and we ended up bringing several people that we talked to Christ. And it just kind of showed me that just following him and just listening to him actually has a bigger impact on other people's lives than just sitting in our comfort zone and not listening to him. So that's what I brought from it.
Yeah, that's praise God.
Hi, I'm Dan. So one thing that I saw in Guatemala was in the church service that they have, like, I think almost every day at that church, during the worship, they obviously are speaking Spanish songs, and I know some of them just from the music, but a lot of them I really don't know what was going on. But I mean, I think anyone could tell that the Spirit was really in that room, even though I had no idea what they were saying. So one thing that I have really taken home from the trip is that God might be working, even though you have no idea what's going on.
Good. Praise God.
I got nothing.
That's now, not hi. True.
Hi, I'm Scott.
We look alike, and we both talk alike, too.
To the Guatemalan people, I'm sure we look alike, for sure. You know, meeting God, meeting him before we even step foot on that plane, you know, we talk about the flesh, and I'll refer to it as this earth suit. And, you know, this earth suit comes with defects, some more than others. But the one thing, trying to shut it off, you know, the more we feed it, the bigger it gets. And it's a shame that, you know, going on missions trips enables us to shut it off. Trying to shut it off here every day is the hardest part. we were walking through the streets of Guatemala. You know, we were witnessing. We're on our way back to meet the group, and you know, I'm just praying. You know, Lord, you know, bring somebody across our path. And I looked over at this bakery, and I saw this young girl standing behind a counter. And I looked, and I felt a little tug. And then Jose Miguel, Joe Mike, who was with us, said, "Do you want to go back?" "Yes." We went back. We shared Christ. She gave her heart to Christ. And as we were exiting, there was actually somebody who went to Pastor Rudy's church who came in, who knew this girl. So Joe Mike and I have been friending one another, and I said to him just yesterday, "Please don't forget about Ingrid. I'm praying for her that, you know what, I don't know what God's got in store for her, but I believe in my spirit that he has got enormous things for her." You know, so listening to the Spirit, that's where it's at, man. That's where it's at.
So this was my second trip to Guatemala. I went 2 years ago with another group and stuff. And I got to say that Kate, Victoria, Hannah, and Dan, they really stepped it up big time. They didn't give themselves enough credit. You know, I was so proud of them for what they did. You know, it wasn't at our urging at all. They stepped up. You know, we met with the youth group at the church and stuff, and they stepped up to show them how to evangelize with the Evangie Cube. And, you know, you saw the team, the worship team, the way they played and stuff. They showed up also to worship God, to really, I felt the Holy Spirit just really there and present with those people and stuff. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you guys. I see a passion in Pastor Rudy's life for these children that go to the school there. And he has this dream, and I want us all to pray for this, that he wants to build the school for 1,000 students and stuff. He's got the land, and, you know, they're trying to raise funds for that and stuff. So, but he can see it, and so could we, I think, when we were there. We were actually on the land and praying over it, and we all, you know, just prayed there, and we could see it, just that school and stuff. So I just ask you to pray for that, and that's it. Thank you.
If you could just click through the next slide, you can see what's going on here. If you see the next slide, what you're seeing is you're seeing Bill trying to lead Scott to Christ, and I'm pretty sure he accepted Jesus, which we're so thankful for. But that was an example of one of our trainings where these are all their church leaders that are gathering together. And by the way, that is Paco. They said his name is anyway, I got the nickname wrong with someone else. And they're like, what in the world? But that's that. And then next one is actually, go ahead, next slide. That's where we're actually going out. That's Estevan. He's one of our translators. And they were actually going out and doing it. And then save the last one. I'll go next one. Well, you can leave it there. That's fine. Go back because that's going to be distracting. But we that way. Go back a slide. There you go. Leave it there. So what we did is after we went out, what good leadership is, we did a debrief. And it was fun because on July 4th, we went in this cafe. Scott and I were tempted to buy coffee. So we went in this amazing cafe, bought a cake that said Feliz Cumpleaños, you know, happy birthday. And we had them write USA because July 4th. And then we were able to have a debrief in this cafe about 2 or 3 days later. And some of the things that the people, the Guatemalan leaders said was, we were surprised at how receptive people are. Have you ever heard someone say that after we do evangelism? We were surprised how interested they were. We were surprised that they weren't really giving us big opposition. I'm thinking, this could be Trinity. And then, so we did that. And then to Bill's credit, I love the leaders here, the elders. In a devotion, one of the ladies, they did a devotion. So each of us did a devotion. They said, how do we make sure that we're doing this in America? And Bill, our very mechanical engineering type, said what?
Just do it.
You just do it. So when you see Bill, our pit bull for evangelism, we champion him on that. He said, you just schedule it. So if you haven't been and you want to go, you can come and walk silently next to me or somebody else, and you pray like crazy, and we'll open our mouths. But don't be surprised if God doesn't use you. It was a wonderful trip. Trinity has wonderful mission trips. And you will see this year as we continue to do great things. We're sending the youth out to Jamaica next week. We are looking at a construction project. What's the name of that church? Remember, Bill? It's some church that we're going to help. What? Yeah, so we're going to have that. So we're excited about what God is doing. I asked the kids, how would you like it if our youth group would grow into that? And you guys said, it would be like our dream come true. So we're like, yeah! So we're excited what God is doing. So thank you. Give him the praise. And now to finish the message, do put Lauren up there. So that, how many of you know Lauren Pupchak? All right. Check out, I put her name. Why do you think I put her name right here? So she's married and pregnant. So Lauren Pupchak Tipaz, here's what I want us to do. Please put out your worship folder, your thing. There's three things I want you to write down there. Because we worship by the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We glory in Christ as we look backwards at God's faithfulness. This is a warm and fuzzy service. But I want the Spirit of God to penetrate our hearts, so that we leave here not just having a warm and fuzzy time and it wears off. Look back at how God has been faithful. Can you write down three things, at least, how God has been faithful? Looking backwards. Lauren, 6 years, just like Amy Jo, 6 years at Wisdom and Grace, poured her life into this school, wishes that she was married, wasn't sure how God was going to work things out, ends up getting married, and the Lord leading her away from the school that she loved. And she said to Bill and I that there is no school in a 30-mile radius that does a better job than Wisdom and Grace. I mean, they are excellent. They're discipling kids from like the very bottom all the way up. I love that school. I stand with it. I support it. But now she's married, and she and her husband are working outside of a village that we don't know if the government, probably the government didn't tell them the volcano was erupting and a village of 14,000 people was covered in lava. Horrible. So she's on the outside helping the survivors to rebuild their lives with her husband. But in the midst of it, where is God? Lord, I can't leave this place. Where are you going to lead me? You look back and you see how he provided, how he got you through the deepest, darkest areas. And spectacularly, one of mine was, oh, I want my kids to be able to go on a mission trip, and if we move from this church, it'll never happen. Oh, my goodness, really? Catherine's been on two. Oh, Lord, how are you going to provide for me? And you look back and go, oh, I didn't see that coming. Do you have things written down? Amen. Please, please do that, because it's good for your soul. Looking back at how he has been faithful, steadily faithful in his promises. Moving on. How has God been faithful? And you have to write it down, but then looking forward with confidence to stand on God's promises. We look backwards and we see that God's character is impeccable, that it is true. Not only do we believe the word is true intellectually and spiritually,
but we have seen it is true because God has dared us to step out in faith, and he has met us as we've called out to him. He has answered us. And then what we do, if we look at our posture behind, oh, he's been faithful. Never once did I ever go alone. You are faithful. You are faithful, says Matt Redman, right? And then we look forward to his promises. What are the promises as Amy and Justin are going to Virginia? What promises will they stand on? I don't know. Maybe part of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age. Maybe it's Romans 8:28. We know that in all things or some things, he works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. He's faithful. What about our ever-present help in time of trouble? You think, oh, my Lord, God, how are you going to get us out of this one? And he does. What about not worrying? Matthew 6:33 and 34, write that one down. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all of some of these things, all of these things will be given to you as well, or added to you as well. And the next verse, right? You can't make one hair black or bald, I don't know. You can't change the hair on your head, but God will provide for us. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that leads us to the final thing. You see this, that's, by the way, that's the ground for where this new school, they can have 1,000 people on that property. And God has made it so the brother gave this piece of land, another person gave this piece, money came in for that, and they're hoping for another part that goes to a main road. That would be better. But how God is standing. I'm not talking about sometimes God gives you a promise and you think it's the Lord. There's those kind of promises, but then there's the rock solid ones that don't change, that are based on God's character. Do you understand what I mean? You may think that God is leading you to do something and he may shift a different way. That's one thing. But the ones I'm talking about is they're based on God's character. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. He will be faithful to you. You are his children. He does not change. So, and you're not so special. You're the first one in the history of the world that he's not going to meet needs. You're not that special. You are loved. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are loved. And God's faithful. So look up. All right. So, for me, the verse that has been speaking to me in the last week or two, check this out, Psalm 123. This is our posture. So, we look backward at God's faithfulness. We look forward, standing on the promises. In the middle, we enjoy Christ. Enjoy Christ. What's our safety? Rejoice in the Lord, right? Our asphalt. We rejoice in Christ, looking up in the present. This is the picture I have. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens, the object of our worship. Behold, this is for you men, as the eyes of servants, any servants here, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, just like, what do you got, Lord? I'm done with trying to figure it all out and whatever, and then move. No, Lord, I don't know what you have exactly, but oh, whatever it is, I will embrace it and I will move quickly. If you're a woman, the eyes of the maidservant look to the hands of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. And he showers us with mercy. And so that's why in the present, our eyes look up. Let me close with a little story about this guy. This guy here is, his name is Poncho. Put up next slide, there he is. And this guy is full of life and full of joy. That, by the way, is the other sibling of Moses, the one the men support. And he is a character, but a man who loves Jesus. So we got to go and hike up a volcano. That in itself is really cool, right? I thought Christians weren't allowed to do anything cool. Boy, was I wrong on that. Is that a lie from the pit of hell? Amen. So we hiked up a volcano, and some of the younger people almost had heart attacks. Some of the older people did fine. We made it up to the top. We toasted marshmallows on the lava, right, which is really cool. I think Daniel's phone actually case cracked because it was so hot being near it.
And we brought all these sandwiches in a bag. That some of them were peanut butter and jellies. We ate those. Some of them were cheese and butter sandwiches. And you had to kind of put them on a stick like a fish hook and try and get it in there and heat it up. And I think we got, what, 2 grilled cheese sandwiches and one of them was sacrificed as it fell into the lava. But 2 days later, we ended up with a bag of squished, disgusting sandwiches. Now, here's the reality. I didn't want to throw those out where we live because the people that were who made those sandwiches for us would have seen them. And it's like, oh, these people, they just throw food out. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? So I said, oh, there's some lucky Guatemalan dogs. Literally. Now, the dogs in the streets there, you don't pet them because they have fleas. They're constantly setting off fireworks. Like, you know the big ones on 4th of July that have the white flash and then you hear a boom that hits the chest? You know those? You can get those, and they, like, set them off in the street. It would be terrible to be a street dog in Guatemala, trust me. I go, oh, I'm going to sneak out, and I'm going to feed the dogs, right? So that's what I was trying to do, but I couldn't find any dogs. And then Pancho rolls up on his motorcycle. And when he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing something kind of funny. I'm feeding the dogs. He goes, oh. So I ended up hopping on the back of his motorcycle, going through town, and we were going, here, Chucho, Chucho, here, Chucho, here, Chucho, 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 trying to call the dogs, and some of them saw, like, heavy-set Guatemalan guy, bald American, and they were afraid, and they ran away. And you can understand that. We're sort of scary-looking. But some of them were like, oh, my goodness, they're giving us real food. They're not going to abuse us. They're not going to do this. And they're, like, gobbling it up. But one, on the top of a hill, we came up, and we were going to give a sandwich to one of the dogs, and I threw it out. The dog looked at it, it sniffed it, and it wandered away. And then this character says, little doggy, no vision. That's profound. Sometimes we're like those dogs that have encountered abuse. We've maybe got some challenges. Hopefully we don't have fleas. But we're afraid that somehow God's not going to meet our needs. That was a good cheese sandwich. That's like a feast for the little doggy. But if we don't have any vision that God really is our Father, who really is faithful to his promises, and he really dares us to walk in faith, and we're going to be like that little dog, just wandering away hungry. I'm sure one of the other ones came up and got it. Oh, I don't want anybody else to get it. I want us to all be just saying, Lord, Father God, what do you have for me? Look at this last video, and what it's they've changed the words for one of the songs that says, all that matters is that I am a son of God or a daughter of God, and I am loved. Check this out. Know that he is my Father, and I am his son, or I am his daughter, and the Father loves me.